Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 8. And we're going to do our best tonight to expound verses 14 through 21. So allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. We thank you, Lord, for the saints of God that have pressed out tonight. Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus, help me understand. Help me understand. You see, saints, when we read verses 14 through 21, and if we don't see through the lens of the Holy Spirit, and even going into some of the, sometimes the Greek and also the Hebraic root, we're going to miss some things. And we're going to think this is meaning this or this is meaning that. But when we read this scriptures, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions to see what do you think he was talking about. Okay, and then we'll continue. So let's look at these verses of scripture and then we'll expound verse by verse. And it reads, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Okay, so for some, if you're just reading the Bible for the first time, it's going to go right over you on this because it went over me many times. Leaven. What the heck is leaven? Verse 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. So they tried to respond this way, had no clue what Jesus was talking about. Verse 17, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? You see, Jesus was talking about spiritual things, and yet they were looking in the natural. So, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? This is this evening's message. Jesus, help me understand. Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? This is why it's so important. Every message, go back to all my messages, whether they're in the evening, on Wednesday nights, or Sunday mornings. I'm always praying, Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying. Because if we look at it just in the context alone, we won't understand what he's talking about. It'll sometimes go over us. But if we're listening to the Holy Spirit, God will show you and show me revelation in this word. It's always been there. When I say revelation, this is not something new. This is something that's like this. Going into a pitch dark room and you cannot see anything in front of you. But if someone turns on the light, oh, I see the stand there. Oh, I see the computer there. Well, those things have always been there. You just couldn't see it. Let's move on. Verse 19, when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? He's questioning their understanding of him. And then he says, they said to him, 12. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it you to not understand? And he said to them, how is it you do not, once again, understand? So I need to ask you a question tonight. What is Jesus referring to of the Pharisees, leaven, and Herod? What does he mean by that? Because leaven is a type of yeast. So, but if you do a Hebraic study and you understand the Greek and you understand the Hebraic root, you will know what he's talking about. It's almost like a code almost. So I asked this question. Let's go back here. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. They did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. He then charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." So is he talking about spoiled bread that has fungus on it? What is he talking about? He's talking about sin. Because during Passover, and Passover's coming around the corner, our Jewish friends, you know what they do during Passover? They go into the house and they clean the entire house and they look for all the dirt, because that's a type of sin. Yet inside of them, it's still filthy. They're still sinners. I'm kind of saying this really low because I don't want to offend them, because they listen to my messages. I'm not saying it in a facetious way. I'm just saying it in truth. So, saints, Jesus had left his confrontation with the Pharisees abruptly, and the disciples went along with them. Apparently, at some point out on the sea, they realized that they had forgotten to bring food, okay? So, you have to look at this. Jesus did miracle after miracle after miracle. He fed 5,000. Now there's another 4,000. And now they're still looking at him. What are we going to do? And then the Pharisees were there to question Jesus on everything he did, trying to entrap Jesus, trying to throw the law of Moses upon Jesus. So Jesus warned the disciples one thing: do not listen to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees had an evil intent. Their minds and their hearts were corrupt and they were evil. Religious people are evil behind their cloak. I hope you know that. Because they have no relationship with God. They look religious, they look holy, but behind that facade, there's evil lurking. This is why Jesus said, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Who was Herod? He was the king of Israel during that time. And he found out that there was a Messiah, and this is why he sent his army to kill the firstborn. Why? Because his kingdom was, he was terrified that someone would overtake and rule over him. Evil intention. So as the disciples were worrying about bread, Jesus used the opportunity to teach of the danger of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod, meaning their sinful nature. Yeast is a key ingredient in bread. We know that. For it causes the dough to rise. Yeast in this passage symbolizes evil. Just as only a small amount of yeast is needed to make a batch of bread to rise, so the evil teachings and hypocrisy of the religious and political leaders could permeate and contaminate the whole entire society. Did you know it only takes one person to walk into a church and spew out all kinds of lies? And people, really, really, really? Then all of a sudden, it's all lies spun through a whole congregation. And there's no truth behind it. Jesus was warning them, watch out for these people. Why? Because their evil intent. Look what King Solomon, back when he wrote Proverbs, when he talks about these evil, we're gonna now focus on the heart of people that operate in an evil way. Because we have to look, why is Jesus warning them about them? Well, what's wrong with them? What is their issue? Well, what do they keep bringing up? What are they trying to say? What are they trying to convey? What are they trying to impart? Well, God answers all those things regarding Herod and regarding the Pharisees, the religious teachers. Let's look at this. In Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom." So God's wisdom comes from heaven. "From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." You and I, who are pressing out on Wednesday, Sunday mornings, that are trying to live holy, God, it will give you wisdom from above. But those that have an evil intent, they're not going to receive one thing from God. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Look at this. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. You and I, we are the saints of God. Can I get an amen? So God preserves us. He keeps us upright. Look at this. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. This is why it's important to be in Bible study. Can I get an amen? You need the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is alive, sharper than a two-edged sword. The Word of God will come and heal you, bless you, comfort you. Hallelujah. When you stepped in, the Spirit of God was here to meet your need. There ain't no boasting and no one ain't got no magical wand. It doesn't work like that. When you come into the presence of God, he will touch your soul. Can I get amen? That's right. Look at this in verse 11. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. For what? To deliver you from the way of evil. Wow. This is why you need to know the knowledge of God. This is why you need to know the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God will keep you from evil. Can I get amen? From the man who speaks perverse things. Watch out when people go, psst, 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 did you know? Psst, psst. Watch out. You know why? Because that'll contaminate your soul. Then all of a sudden you're thinking wrong about them and they don't even know you. Reject it. Just pray for them. Say, oh, you know what? We'll find it. You know what? We'll just pray. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Look at that. Who rejoice in doing evil. There's people that every day they live to be evil. Look at that. And delight in the perversity of the wicked. Be careful what you put your eyes on and what you put your what you listen to. Can I get amen? Amen. Guard your heart. We live in the days where the enemy wants to try to destroy your life. Because if he can render you useless, you are not effective no more for the kingdom of God. He has bound you up. Look at this. Whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Jesus told his disciples, this is the Pharisees. They just want to cause evil and corruption. Oh yeah, even King David knew this. Look at this. Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Why does the Word of God say that? Because there's true evil out there. Can I get amen? You don't have to go too far. Just turn on your television and you'll see evil right there before you. It's no longer Father Knows Best. It's no longer Leave It to Beaver. It's hairy and scary now. Trying to pervert your mind. Look at this. Who plan evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. Why do you think the nations right now, there's many nations right now that are at war and they can't wait to hit the buttons. There are nine countries are nuked up now. And they hate one another. And Jesus said it's going to take one button, in other words, one war, and it's going to end all wars. And there's going to be mass destruction. Look at this. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asps is under their lips. You guys don't know people like that, do you? Keep on living. You'll run into them. Oh, look at this. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Be careful. There's people that want to trip you up. They want to tell you something really sweet. And say, oh, yeah. Yeah, baby, yeah. Oh, yeah. They'll come that way. All sweet and charming. Next thing you know, you got a 9-month road. 2 Corinthians, look at this. Look at that. Listen, Jesus used an example of how a small amount of evil can affect a large group of people. Yes, he did. The wrong teachings of the Pharisees were leading many people astray. Jesus warned his disciples to constantly beware of the contaminating evil of the religious leaders. So Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, examine yourself. This is why every day we got to wake. Man, you got to examine yourself. Am I in the faith or am I living a lie? Examine yourselves whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do not know. Look at this. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? If he's truly in us, then we need to walk it. We need to talk it. Can I get an amen? We need to be about our Father's business. Unless indeed you are disqualified. Wow. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Aren't you so blessed to know, hallelujah, that you've been born again? Hallelujah. Listen, you were born again not just to have a wonderful relationship with the Lord, but we're born again because he has equipped you to fight the evil one. You got to remember, Jesus came down to this earth because it was corrupt already. He had to pierce the darkness to bring us life. Why? Because this world is corrupt. Can I get an amen? It is. It's corrupt. We only live so many years and then we have to die and go back to the dust. We're still part of that original sin from Adam and Eve. But hallelujah, Jesus came to set us free. Can I get an amen? By faith. He came to that cross to die for you and me. So that he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. When you get that in your spirit, my goodness, those headaches, sister, will leave. Can I get an amen? Those hand issues will leave. Thank you, God. Why? Because we serve a mighty God. But Jesus said, he warned about this leaven. Because this little leaven, it's like black mold in your house. When black mold hits your house, it looks for the drywall. I know because I'm a realtor, so I know all this. It goes into the drywall, and then the moisture causes it to spread and to spread and to spread. This is why Jesus warned, and Paul also warned. Look at this. A little leaven, look at that, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Wow. When you start understanding the repercussion of sin, it makes you want to keep far from it. Can I get amen? So look at this. Scripture frames the problem of evil. If you're not reading your Bible, you're not going to know what's evil. You're not going to know what's righteous. You're not going to know what's holy. You're not going to know what's unholy. This is why you got to be in your word. Can I get amen? We as born-again Christians, we cannot be ignorant anymore. We got to be knowledgeable. We got to be equipped. We got to be girded up in truth. Can I get amen? Saints, the Bible makes it clear that evil is neither something God intended nor created. Rather, moral evil is a necessary possibility, meaning it comes from within. Because the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. So every one of us that comes into this world, and there's a precious little tiny baby with us tonight in the arms of our sister. But that tiny little baby that's so cuddly, it's a tiny little sinner. And we're just older sinners. Yeah, that little precious little baby. But you have to teach that kid, right? You got to teach a mannerism. You got to train them up. Why? Because if you don't do anything to that, it'll grow up rebellious and wayward. So why did we have to be taught? Because we do wrong all by ourselves. No one has to teach us wrong. We just do it automatically because that's the sin nature in us. You see, the Bible reads us. We don't read the Bible. It reads us. And so, if we are truly free, then we are free to choose something other than God's will. Aren't you so blessed that he didn't make us like robots? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. No, we're not robots. He gave us free will. So we're at liberty to choose good or we can choose evil. That's right. Scripture points out that there are consequences for defying the will of God. Personal, communal, physical, and spiritual. Those issues are serious issues with us. This is why God had to come and save us. Because we were doomed without him. Doomed. Look at this. It goes back to Genesis. God saw all that he had and he made it. And it was very good. He made this whole world that was... It was intended to be good for you and I. But what crept in? Old Slewfoot. She remembers old Slewfoot. I mentioned him quite a bit, huh? Because he's a real entity. The devil's real. I hope you know that. He's not in the sci-fi movies to say boo. And he doesn't wear a red cap and a pitchfork and a long tail. Bible says he comes like an angel of light. He comes to deceive. He comes to camouflage himself. But his whole purpose is to take your focus off of Christ. That's what he wants to do. He wants to get your whole mind, your whole heart away from the Lord and focus on him. Be careful. Look what also it says in Genesis. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So ever since then, 6,000 years ago, we only live so many years, then we got to go back to the dust. They failed the test. So Jesus had to come and save us from that failure. Aren't you so blessed for the cross? Thank you, God. Look what it says also in Genesis. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife. Oop. Because you listened to your wife. And you blame the wife, okay? Blame the wife. And then the wife, you know what? No, it was the snake in the tree. We're so good at blaming each other. It was you. No. It was him. No, it was her. That's how we roll, don't we? We don't want to take no blame. Look at this. From the tree about which I commanded, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it in the days of all your life. Look at that. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it where you were taken, from dust you are, and dust you will return. God's word is so true. Just in 2019, I've been to about 4 Celebration of Life services. And then the last one I was at, this young lady that I knew from high school, she said there was 10 people that she knows within 2 months that have died. God's word says we're going back to the ground. My question is, where's your heart at tonight? Is it with the Lord? Is it with the Lord? Look what Proverbs 14:34 says. Righteousness exalts a nation. Say that with me. Righteousness exalts a what? A nation, but sin condemns any people. This is the problem with our nation right now. It's filled with unrighteousness. It was not like that when I was a child. It was Leave It to Beaver. We could ride our bikes till 9 o'clock and not worried about getting kidnapped or killed or shot or drive by. We'd just be playing on our bikes or playing football in the street. You can't do that now. And now they're perverting our children in school. And now, Now the law in New York says a woman can give birth, lay it by her side, and decide whether she wants to kill the baby or not. We live in the last days. I hope you know that. They're treacherous. This is why God is saving people left and right right now. Can I get amen? He's calling people left and right because he's about ready to come. So if you're just getting in, praise the Lord. God has saved your bacon. Come on. That's right. And if you're not saved, you better get saved tonight. Can I get amen? Look what it says in Proverbs 19:3. A person's own folly leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. This whole nation, they hate Jesus. They took him out of the schools. They took him out of the court system. They took him out everywhere. And here was the key to this. If we can get God out of the school when they're little, they're not going to know who he is. That's the intent of this evil generation that we live in. If you were to ask a 9-year-old, go to any secular school, any public school, who's Abraham, who's Isaac, who's Jacob, who's Jesus? I don't know. But they know all about Pokemon. They know all the Marvel comics in the DC. They know all that. But you try to tell them the people in the Bible, that was the ploy of the enemy. He came in and he sowed his seeds in our nation. And now we're reaping the repercussion of it. But this is why God in these last days said, I will come, hallelujah, and pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Can I get amen? There's hope for the church. There's hope for us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Look what John wrote right here. He wrote, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, hey, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Listen, some of you, you weren't corrupt out there. You weren't in gangs and you weren't caught up like that. But he saved you to glorify himself in you so that you could proclaim the gospel, hallelujah, to your friend, to your family, to your neighbor. You don't have to be down and out to be saved. You could be really educated and well-to-do, yet there was an emptiness, and God came and said, let me fill that void. Hallelujah. Aren't you so blessed to know? People think, oh, man, you know what? The only ones that are praising God are the ones that are down. No. He goes into Rancho Santa Fe, too, and saves them. The ones that live in a $50 million home. I've seen them for myself. There's no, hallelujah, aren't you so blessed that Jesus came to save all who will hear, who will see, who will repent. But you got to repent. But look, Jesus, he had to tell the Pharisees. Paul got further revelation when he was in prison. Look how he describes the condition of our nation right now and the past 2,000 years. Nothing's changed. I hope you know that. Since the time of Christ, go back to the times of even King David, go back to Adam and Eve after they fell. The whole earth has been corrupt, and this is why Jesus had to come. But let me just say this. As we read these next scriptures, pray for the people that you know that are still caught up in homosexual lifestyle. Keep on praying for those who are still fornicating, meaning in and out of bedrooms without being married. Oh, yeah. People don't want to hear that no more. You're going to get truth here. I'm not going to tell you a lie. I'm not going to coddle your sin. Can I get amen? If you don't like it, well, there's other churches that they'll come and tickle you. I can't. I got to stand before God. Can I get amen? But this is what Paul wrote. Look what he wrote. For the wrath of God is revealed from, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. Look at this. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth. Meaning, man, just muzzle them. If you can muzzle them, they can't speak. And no one will know truth. That's what they've done in the secular schools. They muzzled the Christians. They threw them out. They could have every other religion there, but not Christ. Why? Because the Bible is the only word of God that reads mankind and tells us who we really are. Look at this. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. In other words, these ones that are perpetually evil-minded, God shows them, okay, I'm going to show you who you really are. Look at this. For since the creation of this world, see, since, I'm not lying to you, I'm telling you, since Adam and Eve, since the creation of this world, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No, and nobody comes into this world and can get away with anything. Can I get an amen? You heard about the school teachers, these rich folks that just got caught. Just got caught. Movie star, yeah, abundance of money. I want to buy a PhD for my son and daughter because I got the money to pay for it. And the one girl, she tweeted out, you know what? I'm just here for a party. I don't like school, but my mom is paying for my degree. Well, guess what? I believe God is uncovering all this mess. Can I get amen? Look at this. Because although they know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, because they're futile, they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. These people thought they got away. Listen. Once a year, down in Hillcrest, 100,000 gather with this giant rainbow flag that can drape over this whole building, and they're flaunting it in God's face. God's going to bring judgment one day. I hope you know that. And I hope he takes us out of here before he does that. Can I get an amen? Look at this. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Watch out. Don't call anyone a fool. Hey, you remember, what's up, fool? You remember back in the day, what's up, fool? Don't call anyone a fool. Because if you call someone a fool, you're sending them to hell. Because every person that Jesus called a fool, they were going to hell. And they're not collecting $200 before they go in. Can I get an amen? I bet you thought you weren't going to hear this tonight. You thought you were going to get, you're going to give a little Bible study. The Word of God brings out this. Can I get the Holy Spirit brings this out? Because we got to know truth in the days that we live in. Can I get amen? Look at this. God into image. Let's go back. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man. Meaning, just drive down University Avenue and you'll see all these different gods in the windows. They brought their own gods here. Oh, yeah. They brought them all. And now they're worshiping these images. Look at this. And birds and four-footed animals and creepy things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts. So all these homosexuals, transgenders, all these third bathroom and all these people, listen, I say this, I'm going to say it again. If you don't know what you are, just go in the restroom, drop the drawers and look down. That's who you are. Can I get an amen? God did not make a mistake with you. And if you still can't believe who you are, you need to be delivered and saved. Listen, therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies. I'm backing it all up with truth. I'm not just up here shouting. I'm backing it up with truth. Look at this. And the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. My goodness. How many believe we need help in this nation? So look what it says. It goes on. God's not done. Look at what he says. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Vile passions. For even their women exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Laying with one another. Look at this. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. You're not going to get this in school. For some of you, you probably haven't heard this in a while, or you never heard it yet. Well, you're known tonight. Burning their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting. So he turned them over. Go ahead. Go live that lustful, perverted life. But then your soul is going to be required one day. And you're going to see God face to face. And nobody's going to be there but you and God. What? Look at this. What are you talking about? Well, let's look what God says up here. Being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality. You see, one of the things that detests God is the immorality of the human heart. That's what sends a person to hell. Look at this. Sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Murder, strife, murder. 63 million aborted already in our nation. You think God ain't going to judge? Think again. Murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God. There's people that hate God. They just hate God with a passion. Don't you bring that Jesus in here.
Those people are already here.
Look at that. She's 86 years young. 86 years young when she knows they're here already. Backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. That's an evil thing they just invented. Let's give birth and let's lay it on the side and have a discussion with the doctor. Should I keep it or should I kill it? That's something devised out of evil. Disobedient to parents. You don't know nobody like that, do you? There's people that are shacking and packing. They're having sex without marriage, and it's unholy before God. Don't argue with the preacher. I'm just giving you the mail. You have to read the mail for yourself. Don't throw rocks at me. It's already written. It's already written. Look at this. Violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Okay. So there might be people that are like that. But you're probably saying, well, guess what? I'm not part of that. Okay, that's good. Glad you're not. But don't be a part of this group who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. In other words, you see it and you don't say nothing. So by not saying nothing, you've approved it. Oh. God wrote that. Somebody has to hear this tonight. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And if you never come back again, that's okay, because God's word will not come back void.
Amen.
The seed of truth has entered in, and now it's going to take up residence. You can try to get it out. See if you can try to scrub it out. God will continue to speak to your conscience mind. Well, we're supposed to talk about the leaven of the Pharisees. What happened here? Because that's who they are. That's who they are. Jesus warned them, don't listen to these guys. Listen, they came to destroy Jesus. That's why he told them, don't listen to these guys. Can I get amen? Why? Because there's no righteousness in them. Because the Bible is clear, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many can believe that we've all sinned and come short? This is why we need Jesus. This is why we go, mercy, God. Mercy, Lord. Mercy. Have mercy on me, God. But you know what? There's folks walking around, man, ain't nothing wrong with me. You need God. You needed God. Did you know that? They're walking around proud as a peacock. And one day they're just going to tumble. But guess what? We'll be there to help them up. Come on. Come on. We're not going to go, I told you. Man, I knew that was going to happen to you. We don't do that, do we? No. We pray for them. We say, God, have mercy like you had mercy on us. You can save them too, God. Oh, God. Pour out mercy upon them in grace. Because we deserve death, but yet you chose to save us. Can I get amen? And so God has shown us truth on who we are. That's all. Now you take God's word and you say, God, okay, thank you for allowing me to see what we're really made of. And so now that causes me to cling to the cross. Oh, God, I need you every moment. Thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you, God. And when you have that mindset, man, God will wash you and cleanse you, man. He will empower you. He will anoint you. Why? Because we all know we were junk in the trunk. Some of us was toe up from the flow up. And God still chose to save us. Man, that's God's grace. Can I get amen? Come on. This is the time to just give him praise and glory. Jesus, thank you for saving us. Thank you, God. Thank you. We were wretched, man. I'm telling you, we was out there. Man. Look at what Paul wrote to Romans. Therefore, just as sin entered into the world through one man, meaning through Adam and Eve, sin came in through Adam and Eve, right? And death through sin, we're talking about this. And this way death came to all people because all sin. But Jesus came right behind that to save us. Man, aren't you so blessed to know that God came to save us? He didn't leave us out there. This is why. That we know the truth. This is where you and I, we have to challenge those who are not walking in truth. Not to judge them, but to proclaim the gospel. To tell them the good news. It's good news. I hope you know it's good news. Hey, listen, when you found out you're not going to hell anymore, isn't that good news? Or is that, oh, well, you know, man, awesome. That's cool. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's what keeps me cling to him. Oh, God, I was so wretched, and you still saved me. Man, you got to have a heart of gratitude that goes into eternity. And be thankful to God. Can I get amen? Look at what Hebrews says. For since the message spoken through the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Wow. If everything else is perishing, how can the unrepentant sinner keep going when God is saying, how can we ignore? How can a person ignore this great salvation? This is why you have to pray, God, give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Because they're not going to see it. They're not going to see it in the flesh. God has to open up their understanding, and that's through prayer. Can I get amen? Man, prayer Sunday night was awesome. We prayed in the Holy Ghost. Can I get amen? Man, we didn't stop. We was in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, God. So saints, taken together, Scripture shows us that the physical evils, sicknesses, famine, war, and death, they're the result of moral evil that's in this world. God didn't create it. It's within us automatically. And moral evil is something human beings are all responsible for on a personal and a communal level. We suffer because of our own sin at times. Can I get amen? We do. Other times we suffer because of the sins of others. In some situations, we suffer from simple cause and effect. If I eat too much at night, it's cause and effect. I'm going to hate life in the morning. Come on, we do it. We did it to ourselves. Can I get amen? We do it to ourselves. And we're going, oh, God, deliver me. Yeah, he's saying, man, just put a lock on that refrigerator door. That's your healing right there. Can I get an amen? Come on. I'm tattletaling on myself. That's right. I'm keeping it real. We all fall short, don't we? And we sometimes suffer for a special purpose in order to bring hope or help or a warning to others. Can I get an amen? Look what the Word of God says right up here. As we come in for a close, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Mercies. And the God of what? All comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. This is why God is pouring into us. You know why he's pouring into us knowledge and wisdom? So that we can go help someone else that don't know any better. He's saving us so that he has purpose in their life too. With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? So we go now back to Mark chapter 8, verse 16. And it says, and they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. So they're thinking in the natural. I said all this to bring us back. They're still looking at a loaf of bread. He just fed 5,000. And they still don't get it. You know what? There's still folks, they could walk 30 years with God, and they still don't get it. Jesus issued a warning, and the disciples quietly talked among themselves. They didn't understand the warning and interpreted Jesus' words in an odd manner. The phrase might also be translated, but we have no bread at all. In other words, how can we be in danger of their yeast if we don't even have any bread? So again, natural-minded, right? So their literal understanding missed Jesus' point totally, entirely. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts. Because Paul wrote this, now I pray to God that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable. This is what God is teaching us. When we go to Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning, God is teaching us to honor the King. Are we going to be perfect? No. Are we going to miss the mark? Yes. But God says, come on. He still encourages us to keep going. Listen, some of us have done some massive face plants. Bam! And he comes with this spiritual spatula and he scrapes us off the ground. And then he washes us. He puts us back on our feet. He goes, come on, go a little further. Can I get amen? Ain't no one, none of us had a perfect walk from day one. Come on. We've all missed the mark. Every one of us. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this also we pray that you may be what? Made complete. So we look at these last few verses and then we close. Verse 17, but Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears? Do you not hear? And do you not remember? They just came from a region feeding 5,000, and now there's a new 4,000 in front of them, and they go, we don't have no food. Next time you have a predicament, just go back and remember what God did for you then. Because what he did for you then, he'll do it again. Can I get an amen? Amen? Listen, God doesn't go on vacation. Oh, man, I hear them, but you know what? I'm partying up here. No. He's not also on the toilet. That's what Elijah told the 450 prophets of Baal. Where's your God? Is he on the toilet? That's what he said. Where's your God's at now? And then all he had to do was call down fire from heaven. Man, I'm telling you, when you know how to get a hold of God through the power of the Holy Ghost, God will show up. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he will. He'll show up. Can I get an amen? In verse 19, look at that. When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? You got to remember, there was buckets left over. Now, obviously, when they were on their way, they probably dug into them buckets and ate more. They ate up all the goods, and so now there was just one loaf left. That's how we are. We run out of money, and we go, oh, God, when's the next dollar coming, God? She's laughing at me now, but that's true, because I get in, oh, God, where's that next one coming, God? We do that, don't we? And yet God already has seen the end of our life. He said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. What you worried about? How do you say that in Spanish? You know what? I speak sometimes Spanglish. But many of us, we're llorones. You know what that means? Crybabies. I'm one right up here. So when I say that, I'm talking about me too. So, saints, Jesus quizzed the disciples further over for their lack of perception. Did they even remember the feeding of the 5,000 as we talked about? When he had broken only five loaves and fed more than 5,000? How many baskets full of leftovers did they collect? All these things. They remembered that there were just 12 baskets full. So, I close with this scripture. So he said to them, how is it you do not understand? My question tonight, saints, I don't care what you're going through. How do you not understand that God's able to fix any predicament in life? I don't care what you got yourself into. I don't care what came naturally. I don't care if you fell into a ditch and didn't see the ditch. God is there to pull us out of that ditch. He's there to save us. He's there to heal us. He's there to supply all of our needs. This is why Jesus told his disciples, do not listen to these religious people because they're liars. And all they do has evil intentions all their life. And so, my prayer tonight is, Lord, help us understand all things, God. Lord, help us go through the impossible situations in life. Lord, when we fall into predicaments of life, help us, God. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us in our faith. Wherever we're weak, strengthen. Just strengthen those areas. And wherever we're strong, fortify it. That we would build from that point on to be strong in Christ in the power of your might, Lord. Lord, I know, Lord, that we talked about a lot of things tonight. But I'm praying, God, that the Word of God, the power of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God will always be upon your people. So no matter what we go through, you're with us. And so I'm praying for someone that's listening right now. Maybe they've never given their heart to you, God. There are people listening to this message around the world because so many download these messages from other countries. We have monitored it, and we know that they're downloading the messages. I pray, God, that this message tonight will help someone who goes around the mulberry bush over and over, around and around. Oh, God, give them understanding of who you are. And thank you for allowing us to see who we really are. We're in need of a Savior. And we need you, Jesus. We need you every day. And so I'm praying for someone that maybe has never given their heart to Christ. And if you're listening to this message, just cry out to God and He will save you. You don't have to go to a religious class or be part of a religious organization. All you have to do is receive Jesus by faith through His grace, and He will save you right where you're at, no matter where you're at right now. We want to pray this prayer with you. Pray it by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give them a shout of praise and glory now. Is Jesus worthy? Come on, He's worthy, isn't He?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.